You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about something that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm joined today by my good friend and colleague, Tony Fontana. Hello, Tony.
Morning, Bill. How are you doing today?
I'm good, and I guess I should tell people who I am. I'm Bill Thorne. I'm with the National Retail Federation, and we are very, very fortunate today to have a special guest. Her name is Sarween Sali, and we're going to tell you more about her in a minute. Sarween, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me in today.
We're glad that you can make it. Tell us a little bit about your business, S3.
Yes, so S3 Active. So S3 is a activewear company, right? So a retail company. I actually curate several brands that I have in the space right now. And the latest concept is pairing this retail concept with fitness, right? So it's kind of like a retail plus is what I've been calling it. So you have the 10 activewear brands. I only have women's at the moment, growing into men's and accessories. And then pairing it with fitness classes, right?
Where are you located?
I'm in the Union Market District.
Very nice. Tony?
Taking a step back, you first started as a pop-up. What inspired you to do that?
Okay, so taking a couple steps back, I was a consultant at Deloitte for several years. So totally living that corporate life. I was kind of on autopilot, MBA, straight to consulting. But always super passionate about fitness and fashion, right? So I started coaching fitness classes in the after hours after Deloitte, and very quickly was bored with athletic fashion. I was traveling up to New York for consulting, and I got my hands on a ton of different brands, and, you know, I felt like DC had the market for it. You know, I'd get a lot of questions about what I was wearing, and also I personally wanted it down here. It was inconvenient when I wasn't traveling. I couldn't get my hands on it. I couldn't find it. A lot of the brands are small businesses themselves. And so since I was teaching at a fitness studio, I got the opportunity to pop up in the back of there. And so I quickly almost fell into it. And from there, Union Market got a hold of me and gave me the opportunity to pop up in something they were doing called The Lab, where several retailers were in one space for the holiday season. And that was November 2015. And I said, you know, if I take this opportunity, I've got to jump. I got to quit the full-time gig and go all in. And so I did. So that's kind of where I started that and fell into that. And from there, led into another pop-up, and now I'm permanently in the Union Market District.
So it's an interesting point that you make. I mean, that decision of I've got to go all in. I can't think about it anymore. I can't plan for it anymore. I've just got to do it. At what point did you feel comfortable? Was it a lot of homework? Was it just, oh, well,
so
off the cliff?
I think it was the fact that I had the opportunity to do the pop-up at the same time that I was at Deloitte, right? So I had that few months of cushion. And when I had started that, I started to lose my focus a little bit on the consulting side. And I just, you know, I was doing what I had to get by, just to be completely candid. And I'm not the type of person that likes to go half into things. It's like I like to do 100% of a job or I'm out. And so I think having that cushion and being able to see that this concept actually worked, it wasn't just an idea in my head, getting the space to actually execute a pop-up shop while, you know, I didn't have to leave my full-time job yet, I think that really gave me the opportunity to kind of see where it could go. But I think no matter what, there was no way around, like, that risk of taking the jump, right, and not really knowing what you're getting yourself into. And still, like, there's still, like, the day-to-day risk, right?
Did you have a mentor or somebody that kind of walked you through the process?
So I've had a couple of different key players, and there's still, I mean, you know, people along the way that I feel like just come into your life and for that purpose, right? And so I had my mentors at Deloitte that, I mean, the people there were incredible. The things that I learned from them, I'd probably not be where I am with the business without without their mentoring. And, you know, they always kind of said, you gotta love what you're doing. And they always pointed me in that direction. And then, you know, when I took the leap, there was other people that I knew that had their own businesses that I ended up spending some more time with and just kind of talking to them. And you just kind of start to figure out that, like, nobody has the answers. Everybody's just kind of rolling with it, right? So there wasn't, like, I was, like, searching for this end-all, be-all answer. Like, am I doing the right thing? And it's, everybody's still out there, right? Even the people that I know with some of the most successful businesses, like, they're just taking it day by day and, you know, rolling with the punches. So,
yeah.
And I think the athleisure market is incredible. Bill and I may just think practically in terms of the way that we dress for working out or staying in shape. Can you define the market a little bit? What does it mean to dress, you know, casually, but also, I guess, your hashtag is sweat sexy, right? So go into detail about that a little bit.
Just to make a point, Tony was just awarded $10 for actually working that in there. So congratulations, Tony.
Thank you.
I'll spot you the 10. So I think athleisure is a permanent change in fashion, right? Because it's people are busier than ever. People need convenience. And, you know, I think also the healthy lifestyle is front and center, right? Self-care. People need something with their busy schedules and all of the stress that of the day-to-day. And so athleisure is, there's the portion of it that's like, you can go and work out in this stuff, right? But then you can also leave and you can throw on a blazer, you can throw on a pair of heels with a legging, and you can go straight to your work meetings. And so it's the combination of being able, like the stuff being technical enough to withhold the sweat and withhold your workouts and also carry, like have the like quick dry and the antibacterial that so that you can actually stay in it, right? And then it looks good. It's got the whole fashion component to it. And so it can take you from the gym to the streets.
I don't think I will ever look good after a workout. And you know, I have to tell you, the irony of sitting here and talking about athleisure and a healthy lifestyle, looking at a box of donuts as well as beef jerky and cheese, kind of gives me a pause about what we actually serve our guests.
See, I look at it on the flip side and inspires me to work out later, hopefully in comfortable clothes that I wouldn't mind going out to for dinner or a bar later.
I hate to each their own.
That's right.
This is a safe place, no judgment.
So when you look at the future of S3, what are your thoughts? Is it, are you going to grow? Or are you going to stay local? What are your plans?
Yeah. So, you know, as I look at the future, I mean, I don't think anything is set in stone, right? And I think one thing that I've really learned is that you might have a plan and things tend to end up working out a little bit differently, right? But I think as far as what I see for the future, yes, I see growth. I see Retail Plus is the main thing that sticks out for me, right? So creating this experience, for me, it's more about building this community and actually having the lifestyle come to life, right? And having an experience when you come in. So the retail is there, right? And that's what makes people feel good, right? And then you've got the fitness component, maybe some type of F&B, like food and beverage component in there to keep people around, you know, come with their computers, work on it. I kind of see the Retail Plus situation. I see scaling, right? So not just local. But maybe markets not as big as New York and LA, but penetrating like places like Philadelphia, places, smaller cities, but still metropolitan.
Yeah, I think my biggest question is, what is, you know, the hallmark aspect of the community side of things? So what are some of the in-store events that you have that people keep coming back to, maybe other places around DC, or say, we want that here?
Okay, so we've done a number of different things. So top of mind is just the fitness programming. So we've had yoga classes, we've had some boot camp classes. So it's almost like a creative incubator for these fitness instructors, right? Because when they teach at a studio, they're locked down to teach what that class is at that studio. But it's almost giving them a platform to build their own mini brands, like their own personal business. And so I have Byron, for example, that's teaching cardio abs class, and it's been like it's been a total hit, and he's been able to bring all of his knowledge and create this, you know, 60-minute cardio hit training kind of class, not being glued to like what a studio is going to constrain you in. We've also done things like I've had a runway show, which was previewing the next season, the combination of the brands, right? Because again, this is a place that has all of these brands in one place, whereas, you know, each business is highlighting their brand together. And so the runway show gave everybody the opportunity to see the brands paired and how they all are cohesive.
When you have the menswear rolled out, do you think you'll have a men's fashion show?
100%.
Excellent.
Don't call me. Not that you would. I just saw that picture. You're not going to call me. So when you look towards the future and you look at expansion, I mean, a lot of that causes great angst. What keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night? A lot of things. I think it's just the uncertainty, right? But I think, you know, you almost grow with like a thicker skin. You grow an endurance to it, and it's almost like there's a little bit of a rush that comes with that. But I think the main thing that keeps me up at night are my ideas. Like I can't stop rolling with the ideas, and I'm like, I gotta write this down. And like I said, like the plans are always changing, and as you go through each day, you're learning more and more, so your ideas evolve. So I would say it's not so much a bad anxiety that keeps me up, but more of like I'm ready. I'm like, I got to keep going.
If somebody came to you and said, you know, I'm interested in starting a business, I'd really like to get into retail or create a small business, what's the first thing you would tell them?
Are you sure? No. I mean, I think I am a huge champion of people starting their own thing now, right? Because I would have never thought that I could do it. And I'm like, anybody can do this. Anybody can do it. You've got to be committed. You've got to really, really love it, because you literally will spend every second of your life on it and all of your energy. And it'll knock you down, but it'll pick you back up, you know, 5 steps forward, 10 steps back. So I think my main point would be to explain that you've really, really just got to feel passionate about it. About whatever the actual business is, not just like doing your own thing.
In looking at your business, how do you define success? What is success? Is it the money?
I don't know if I would say it was the money, right? So I think that it's fair to say that everybody wants financial freedom, right? That goes kind of without saying. But I think actually it's a funny question because I made myself sit down and write all of this out. It was probably last year. I was probably 6 months in, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, what is the end goal here? Like, is it money? And I think I sat down, and I think for me, that financial freedom is a big piece of it. But I think the main thing is just like, is happiness, right? So day to day, everybody has to work to make a living. Well, most of us, right? So, you know, I just, for me, want to love my day to day. So no matter if I grow or I just want to be a part of it, and I love this and I believe in the concept, and that's why the community building piece and bringing the lifestyle to a fruition is so important to me.
Why DC?
So I've lived in the city for about 10 years, and I actually wanted to escape so bad. Like a few years ago, I was just like, I'm done, you know, like DC doesn't get it. Like the things that I love aren't here. And, you know, traveling out to LA and traveling to New York, you get these tastes of like, especially for fitness industry, right? Like they're way ahead. And so they've got all of these studios, they've got the fashion, everything's there, right? But then my mindset started to change, and I was like, no, I want to bring this to DC. I don't want to just escape and drown in these big cities, and the opportunity is here, right? And so it's like DC deserves to have this stuff just as much as these other cities. I think the city is incredible. I think, you know, the creative, there's like a creative bubble that's like on the merge right now, emerging right now. I think there's so much cool stuff going on. Like the food scene is really on the up. Like there's just so many exciting things. It's almost like you can feel it in the air. And so my entire perspective changed there. And I've grown to love DC so much, and I feel completely attached to it. So I've kind of made it my own personal thing to at least try to like elevate it in some way, shape, or form.
DC needs elevated. Yeah. All the time.
So you switch careers. You mentioned that already. Are there aspects of your former professional life that you find that you're using today at S3 Active?
Yeah, 100%. I think I don't even realize it because I was there for so long and I was almost operating like a robot. And you don't you don't realize that those things are ingrained in you. And I'm really lucky for all of that stuff. Communication and just like multitasking in general, and just the way that I used to operate and come in, you know, I had a morning routine. That stuff is so important, like starting your day off super early and like getting that to-do list done like 30 minutes before you actually have to start, because once that day starts, it's like a total show, right? Putting out fires and things like that. So I would say, I was client-facing a lot at Deloitte, and so now I'm dealing with 10 different brands, so essentially 10 different clients. And so all of that kind of stuff is just second nature to me. And also the financial pieces, and you're doing every single aspect of the business. And so I think my consulting career completely prepared me for all of those things.
What was your first job? I mean, even high school. I mean, what was your first
retail
job? It was retail.
Yeah, it was retail. And then a gym.
So you've put it together.
And here we are.
Full circle.
Yeah.
I've never actually thought about that.
And I got to think about it. So I mowed yards and babysat, but I don't think you can put those two together to do anything. So we've got just a couple minutes left, and we have this thing that we do that we enjoy, and I hope that you'll enjoy it. We're going to call this Rapid Fire, and it's several questions. We want you to answer them instinctively, the first thing that comes to mind. So I'll start you off. What was the last book that you read?
If You Can Keep It.
That was about what?
American Liberty.
Very good.
Nice.
Irony.
Very nice. The app that you cannot live without.
Instagram. Guilty.
Very popular app. Then if you were to pick one place that you would like to travel to in the world, where would that be?
South Africa.
If you were to claim one person as a role model, who would that be?
My mother. Easy.
So last question. If you could be anyone other than yourself, who would you be? Don't say Oprah.
I know. I'm not. I don't think I would pick anybody else, but I'm not allowed to say myself. I could be anyone. I don't know. I mean, Angelina Jolie is coming to mind, but it's because of all of the charity work, right? So you said to say the first person that came to mind. At least it wasn't Oprah.
Very good. Sarwene Sully, thank you so very much. S3 Active. We can find you on the internet.
Yes, s3active.co, and it's a landing page right now. It'll take you straight to my Instagram.
Very good. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, and you can find more links to other episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, make sure to rate us on iTunes. It helps other listeners actually find our show. So thanks for listening. Sarwene, thanks for being here. Tony, always good to see you.
You too, Bill. Great talking to you today.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.